Mock Draft 3.0 is come and gone, but it's time to tell you guys about those players we selected. Wayne, you ready to do it?
Let's do it, baby. I say, boy, I just had me a swig of ice cold water, bro. Ain't nothing like it, dog. Nothing like it. What's going on, bro?
Yo, man, it has been a long. You ever have a day where you wake up so early and get started so early that, like, at lunchtime, you feel like it's supposed to be quitting time?
Oh, yeah, that was today. Yeah, it's every day. Yeah.
That was today for me, man. This has been a wild day, but I'm good. I'm happy, man. Whenever I do fall asleep, it's going to be one of those.
Yeah, you're going to sleep.
It's going to feel like how that cold water just felt to you.
And you're probably only going to sleep for like 15 minutes and be like, this is the best 15 minutes. What's going on, faithful man? Welcome to the BAM show. Shout out to everybody out there. The crew's in the building. Y'all know who y'all are, or you know who you is. It sounds better when you say you is, but that don't sound, I don't think that's proper English. You know who you are. Yeah, that's how it's supposed to go. You know who you is. That sound better. Like, to all my, you know, poetic justice people out there. But, yo, Mike, it's Friday. That means we get to review what in the heck we did on Monday in our mock draft. I was going through the mock draft selections. I'm like, why'd we take this person? Like,
yo, shut up. See? Y'all don't know, but he took a shot at me. That's what that was. He just took a shot at me in my picks. But that's okay, man. I got some justifications for it. And I can't wait to talk about a little bit that we got going on here. So
for those
split up nice and neat.
Yeah, nice and neat. You know, Mike's going to handle the even rounds. I'll handle the odd rounds. Hey, Mike, we had an earthquake over here on the East Coast. It was like a 4.7 or something on the Richter scale. For those that don't know what a Richter scale is the scale they use to measure the earthquake, like how severe it is, right? Like. So it definitely was in the Pennsylvania, New Jersey, New York, Connecticut area. I think we were the lowest of the state to get it, so we didn't get probably the full fledge or whatever. But we got a little shaking bacon going on over here. So I just want to make sure you're good, bro, because I'm good, man. I was probably lifting a weight and the earth was already shaking. Like at that point, like
yeah, I was at the second warehouse of the day when it happened over here, and I didn't even notice. So New Jersey or Pennsylvania, we don't get a lot of earthquakes here. The East Coast doesn't get a lot of them.
Correct.
And the last two, I was so busy working that I just didn't feel them. But this one was better this time, because last time I thought I was looking at a dead lady and was waiting for the cops to arrive. So this time was a lot less stressful.
I think the last time we had the earthquake, I was in New York on the set of 106 in Park, and they evacuated the whole building, but I didn't feel it then either. Mm-mm. Maybe I walked too close to the earth. It doesn't faze me.
Yeah, I don't know why I can't feel them. Like, I don't get it. And I'm pretty sensitive to stuff too. I feel like I'm sensitive enough to, like, I should notice if the world is moving around me. But I guess if the world is doing this and I'm doing this,
I think I know what it is for me, Mike. You know what it is for me? I've seen way too many movies, and I'm waiting for the ground to split and La Brea to pop up and then the dinosaurs come out. Like, I'm waiting for all that. If that ain't happening, it ain't an earthquake.
It's not an earthquake, right? You're waiting for like some Armageddon type
stuff.
Yeah,
like that's what I'm waiting for. But nah, man.
What was the opposite movie called? Armageddon was when they went up. What was the one
where they, was there an earthquake movie?
Yes. It was there was two of them. One of them had The Rock in it, but it was one before that. Remember, all the rich people was trying to get to the big boats. Dang it! And then the dude had like his mistress and his wife there and his family, and he left the kids. Like when they got to the boat, they had like they were taking everybody together.
Now, what? He had the mistress and the wife and left the family.
Called, like, The day after?
Day after tomorrow?
Oh, 2012?
Oh, 2012. I thought 2012 was like animals in BC, like saber-toothed tiger. I don't know. They came up with too many. San Andreas is the one you're talking about. I remember San Andreas one. That was the one with The Rock.
Yeah, that was like, all right, whatever. But then there was a movie called Sleepy Hollow. I think that was The Bad Storm.
Whatever. Day After Tomorrow was dope. I think that was the name of it.
I think that's the one I'm thinking of.
Because that's when all the seasons changed and they were happening at the wrong time and people didn't know what to do.
Oh, so that's not, maybe, dang it, man.
That was when
one of them had an earthquake.
I think that, oh, okay, I'm thinking the 10,000 BC. I don't remember 2012. That was when the world is in. Some good movies. But hey, if an earthquake not happening like one of them joints, ain't an earthquake, you know? And that's no disrespect to those that really survived that earthquake that happened in San Francisco back in the day. Like, that was an earthquake. Like, that's an earthquake.
There was a joint. All right, whichever movie had the little boy hiding in the library is not the one I'm talking about. It was in the library, like the oldest book.
I think that was Day After Tomorrow.
I think that's Day After Tomorrow. So I think I'm thinking about
Day After Tomorrow had Jake Gyllenhaal in it.
John Cusack. That's the one with the little boy.
That's
that was his son.
2012.
Oh, shit.
I don't know.
Yes, anyway. 2012 had John Cusack. Yes, yes.
Now, that's when they made good movies. Can they get back to making some good movies?
Man, we got to get in Hollywood, man.
Well, the writers hopefully the writers are back. They finished the strike. And, you know, speaking of writers, a lot of writing going on right now. Mike Florio put out a take real quick. It said that he doesn't think the 49ers are looking to pay Brandon Ayuk till next year. Now, come on. Like, I just want you to. Is there any validity to that? Because technically, the Niners don't have to pay him till next year. Technically.
Mike Florio doesn't know a thing about the San Francisco 49ers. I hate anytime he ever reports on the 49ers. Mm-hmm. That's all I'm going to say. So.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. So here we go. You ready?
All right, we're gonna start from the top. You know what? I should have typed all the names in there.
Oh yeah.
All right, sorry. We got one here. I'm gonna edit this one up.
Well, I got the first one. So let's talk about Jackson Powers Johnson. That was the center. We drafted him with our first pick. All right, it's really tough because you know the 49ers. In my opinion, they just need to address the offensive line. I think addressing the offensive line in the first round is what they should do, especially if any one of their players are available. When we saw Jackson Powers Johnson on the list, I think a lot of the top tier tackles that we wanted were gone. And then Jackson Powers Johnson was just available. So what you're getting with this 6'3 powerful dude is you're going to get a starting center for the next 7 to 10 years. Like he's going to be your starting center. He's 328 pounds, arm length 32 1/4 inch, hand size almost 10 inches. He's an All-American, all Pac-12, four-star recruit. And I don't get too hyped around centers, but when I see a center that I feel like could come in and really like be the, especially with the San Francisco 49ers, when I see a center that could come in and just be like the anchor of the offensive line, because that's what a center is. The center is the anchor, right? It's the middle of the offensive line. This is the guy. Him, Zach Frazier would be another candidate that I think could come in and start right away. You know what I'm saying? So you're going to get a physical dude. You're going to get a mean dude. He's very athletic. He's got really good hands. His hand use is really good. And then when I think about some of the things he's probably going to struggle with right now, is his just his quickness and his length. But this guy can be a good zone blocking guy. He could be a good zone running guy, power guy. He's got the strength. He's got the size. Again, he's 6'3". And I think this was a solid first round pick for the 49ers. It might not get an A grade because, if you do a lot of the mock draft simulators that give you grades, the computer, the algorithm wants you to take a tackle. Like, you know what I'm saying? They want you to take a tackle. Now, the cool thing about Jackson Powers Johnson is if you draft him and you still want to rock out with Jake Brendel on the last year of his deal, you could slide him in the guard. He could start at guard. So you're getting a combo dude.
Yeah. I want to ask you this question really quick, because we went to interior offensive linemen. If he's playing the guard position, mm-hmm. are we doing ourselves a disservice by taking his mental away?
Because like, because he's played guard. So even at the Senior Bowl, he took guard reps. Like, you know what I'm saying? And he can play guard. So it's not like he hasn't played there before. You can slide him into guard, but he's All-American at that center position.
Got you. Okay. I like it, man. I like it a lot. All right. So the next person that we took at 31, second round pick at 31, was Max Melton from Rutgers. Wayne, I was looking him up some more. Do you know what his first name is?
Max?
It does start with an M.
Is it Marcus?
No. It's
Maximilian?
It's like Melchizedek or something like that. Oh. No, it's not Melchizedek. Hold on, wait. Now I forget what it is. It's like Malachi. I think it's Malachi. It's his real first name. I don't know why they decided to call him Max Melton. But listen, man, this kid is a stud. He's an absolute stud. Yeah, it's Malachi, Max Melton. He's an absolute stud. I love this kid, not just because he's from Jersey. Athleticism is there. The quick hits, the instincts are off the chart with Max Melton. Wayne, I'm starting to think that he might not be available at 63, where we've been picking him in these mock drafts. He's also an ace on special teams. He's got multiple block punts. Like this kid is like a do-it-all type of player, the kind of guy that you're going to want the 49ers to go out there and get for sure. And when you're looking at him, you know, just the physical attributes and things like that, he's damn near perfect for your team. Like he's perfect for what you want to do, what you were looking for at a team. I just wish he was a little bit taller, but the Niners don't. 5'11", runs a 4.39. This is going to be the type of guy they're looking to get, man. I really like him.
Yeah, he definitely fits the prototypical stature of a cornerback for the San Francisco 49ers. They're not looking for the big 6'3 guys. They may go 6'2", 6'1", usually is the max that they want out there on the outside of the corners, maybe because it's their ability just to do certain things with their physicality. I do like Max Melton. I don't have any questions about him because you studied him, you brought him up, and he's an athlete. Like you're gonna get an athletic, speedy guy that is really good in corner. The only concern is he only had 60 snaps inside in the slot in 2023. So I'm just curious to see, like, will he be able to play at the nickel? Because here, like, the way I look at the 49ers defense as of right now, it's set. I think what we need to start prefacing ourselves is that the 49ers are literally, again, they're drafting for the future. Like, this draft isn't for this year. Like, you know what I'm saying? This draft is for probably 2 years from now. And if their number gets called due to whatever, the Niners feel comfortable with those people coming in to play at their spot, you know what I'm saying? So Max Melton probably would come in, give you good special teams reps. He's going to have speed. Can he return? I haven't seen if he could be a returner. I don't know if that might be the only question I have. But I like Max Melton. Very good pick.
He's a very good one. Now, this next guy might be the guy that Wayne said, why did we pick this guy? This is going to be Mason McCormick, the South Dakota Jackrabbit. All right. He is he was the guy that we picked at 124, or the fourth round here. Oh, wait, it's not my turn yet. I'm sorry. I skipped you. My bad.
I'm like,
I was
what?
Already to rock and roll. My bad, bro. I'm sorry. I was in go mode. I'm sorry. It's your turn. You up. Oh,
okay. So, no, he's not the guy that I'm scratching my head about. But this guy that I did pick right here, that we picked, we select that wide receiver, Brendan Rice, out of USC. And the reason why I scratched my head is, you know, good player, not a 1,000-yard wide receiver as far as production. And, you know, when you got the best quarterback in college football, you can't break 1,000 yards. But at the end of the day, like, he's definitely a good player. I think he could definitely run that go route. He has a couple of moves in his route tree. The thing that I do love about him is he's able to create separation, and he finds them little skinny holes inside the zone where the safety and the cornerback just get lost. I don't know why. I don't know if that's because of what the quarterback is doing, but he knows how to get open. He knows how to extend the play and be available for his quarterback to throw. Not great, the greatest blocking wide receiver. But the reason why I scratched my head, I'm telling you, I watched him in an interview, bro, and I like you could see that he doesn't want to be in San Francisco. Like, that's the one team he doesn't want to go to. And it's because of his father. Like, it's because of the legacy that his father built. And you know, most kids will want to go to that and be like, nah. That, you know what, that didn't even turn me off. What really turned me off was he said that he wanted to be he's a number one wide receiver. End of discussion. Like, that's what he said. And I can see, I'm not mad at that, but I can see he won't be number one if he's drafted to the 49ers. And I can see that mentally be frustrating for him. And so, like, I'm just like, it'll be an issue. But does have the traits to be a good wide receiver in the NFL. If the Niners did select him, I'll be all for it. I'll support it. And I just hope that this kid mentally is ready to go.
I want it. You talked about, like, being in his dad's shadow, right? And yeah, we are one of the most judgiest fan bases I've ever seen in my life. You think he's onto something, Wayne? Like, honestly. Like,
what you mean?
Just go out there. Like, do you think he's onto something? If he has a drop in a big moment, you think the fans would be like, yeah, no. Dad would have never done. Give the fans a lot of credit.
Nah, I think the issue more from him is just my thing was, you come into San Francisco, this is Brandon Ayuk, this is Deebo Samuel, and you already claiming you that dude. Like, I just see doghouse like super early because he can't block.
I'm that dude. He didn't say I'm that dude in San Francisco. He's saying I feel like I'm a number one wide receiver. What are you supposed to say? I think I'm only your third receiver, so don't draft me high.
No, but you know, but you didn't say that about any of the other NFL teams, and so you made it clear that in San Francisco you want to be the number one.
Oh, see, okay.
So, oh, okay. Right. See, okay.
Let me walk. Yeah. I didn't see the interview. Okay. He said that specifically about San Francisco.
Yeah, because they asked him about San Francisco. He wants to go somewhere where he could be number one.
And what was his exact response?
He said, it don't matter. It doesn't matter what his exact response, because I don't know it verbatim. But I'm telling you that this kid, for one, doesn't want to go to where his father built the legacy. And number two, he feels he's this number one guy, and he knows San Francisco, he ain't going to get that opportunity.
Right. So that's what I'm saying. Was it an admission of, I would want to go to a team where I have a chance to be the number one receiver, and I can't?
He didn't say it like that. It was cocky. Like, so, you know what I'm saying? It was like how wide receivers should talk. I'm not mad at what he said. I just would kindly pass over him so he ain't got to worry about being number one in San Francisco. Go be number one in Seattle or whatever, wherever they draft you. There's plenty of wide receivers out here. I wanted Javon Baker. You wanted Brendan Rice. Let's just make this clear. That's what happened. Let's go back and watch that episode.
and you think that's me?
Oh, you pick Brendan Rice.
Okay, cool. Okay. All right. So back to my South Dakota man over here, all right? Mason McCormick. This guy is an interior lineman. I think this was a bit of a reach, and I'm saying this as someone who was the final answer guy on this one. Left guard over the past couple of seasons. He's probably going to be an undrafted free agent. Why we picked him this high, I'm not quite sure, but here's one thing I do like about him. I like his size. 6'4", 309. A long arm guy, and you pull up film on anybody, you can find highlights, you can definitely find some lowlights also. I think we should start making it a thing to create a lowlight videos. No one thinks to do that, but I think people would be just as interested in lowlights as they are highlights. But Mason McCormick is a guy that will have to grow and develop. And if this is a draft for the future, he's going to be the type of guy that, hey, I'm happy, I'm here, I'm hoping to stick around and make a name for myself, and let's just see what I can do. You know, this young man is a big, like, he's got this, like, he plays with the shoulder pad, the neck thing, like Mike Allstott had back in the day. Remember, like, mm-hmm. just like he had no neck. Like, yeah. That's what I see with him. So, yeah, those are.
I wish we lived closer together so we could actually sit and watch the same shit at the same time. I get a different Mason McCormick when I watch, whether it highlights or lowlights. I just think that Mason McCormick, and these aren't guys that I think will start day week one day one, week one. Like, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You did say some things like, you know, if he sticks around. Now, this is a solid guard, 100%. That's his position. And he plays it. I thought he played it well. Like, I don't know. I mean, everybody's going to have low lights, so we could do that. But it's not like their low lights are going to trump their highlights. Like, you know what I'm saying? This is more good than he does bad. Like, we could do, we could talk about our original offensive line and go through low lights for each position on there. And some guys are going to just have more positive lights. Like Trent Williams, he's going to have more positive lights. But there's some low lights that stand out. Everybody has their strengths. Everybody has their weaknesses. I just think that the Niners could get meaner up front. And if you're not going to address the guard position early with a Christian Haynes or a Christian Mahogany or any one of those mean bully type dudes, and those are the shorter dudes, right? We went with this typical size guard for the San Francisco 49ers, the 6'4", the 6'5", the 6'6", type of guard that could get out there, get out on the block. He graded very well in PFF. I think run blocking is his thing. I like him, but hey, I think that's why we drafted him, though.
Yeah. Now, see, that's the one thing that I saw consistently about him was that he's mean. He's mean.
I just want to change that mentality. I just feel like we're a little too soft on that offensive line. I just wish, but everybody's not mean. You know what I mean? You either mean or you're not. You know. Yeah. Fourth round pick, not, I don't think it's bad. Like, you want to hit that one, two, three are the ones you're hoping you hit on. And then fourth round, you know, is kind of in between. Fourth and fifth round in between. Sixth, seventh round are projects.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you want to get to the super chat before we continue? Or you
yeah, let's bang that out real quick.
All right.
Super chat time, baby. Big Daddy Niners, thank you for the super chat. He says, Niners need help with blocking Brock on both sides of the field. Yo, you're 100% right, Big Daddy Niners. They do need help, but that doesn't mean that they're going to necessarily get the help in the draft. Like, it doesn't matter who they draft. That doesn't mean that it's going to help that much. It's going to take time. The offensive line is all about continuity. I think that's why Kyle made sure he brought this offensive line back together. And now they're going to try to find ways to, you know, get better over time. I just think a lot of stuff is going to have to happen over time. If they really wanted to get better on the offensive line, they would have addressed it in free agency with no money. But and they didn't have the premium to pay some of these guards. So I think in the draft, they really have to find a way. I'm hoping Chris Forster, Kyle Shanahan, those guys come together and they find the guys that really can, that really fit what they're trying to do offensively. I hope they get back to the outside zone. That's why I like McCormick, because you could get the outside zone going again. But yes, you're right. They need help on them tackles. They need help. and so maybe McKivitz gets better.
Yep. I agree. Yeah.
Maybe. I said maybe.
All right. So back for the first time in the second round. The fourth round, my bad, was Justin Eboigbe. All right.
Defensive
Alabama.
Yeah.
So I watched this guy, and we see a lot of batted passes from him. He's strong. He plays hard, but there's just something about like him moving in space. Now, you're a defensive lineman. You're not going to be playing much in space, so I shouldn't care too much. And I think that's what's going to be appealing to teams about him. It's like his weakness isn't going to be something that we need to be one of his strengths, right? Like, you don't ever expect to see, Javon Kinlaw chasing somebody downfield 30 yards down the field. You know what I'm saying? So I shouldn't care about that. This guy also gets his hands up. I like seeing that there from him. I don't know if he's going to come in to be a starter, especially with the depth on this team, but he can definitely come in and push some guys for, you know, one of the top rotational guys, maybe the third or fourth defensive tackle on the team. I think he has that kind of potential to go out there and do that.
I like him as depth, and I would love to see. I mean, he's an Alabama kid that I thought had some pretty good production. John Lynch likes these Alabama guys. And I would like to say I thought he had a good Senior Bowl. Like, literally, he was a kid I was talking about at the Senior Bowl, and I know because I couldn't remember. It was Tavondre Sweat and this kid. The issue is he a tweener? Is he outside? Is he inside? He's kind of heavy for outside, but he's not super, he's kind of light for inside. Like, it's weird. So do they draft a tweener guy like this? I'm for it, as long as they know how to utilize him this time. I think he would be better than the tweener that they drafted in 2017. I think so. But there's a couple of, listen, so I'm gonna keep it a buck. There's a couple of tweeners I like in this draft. He's one of them. Marshawn Nealon out of Western Michigan is the other. Like, that's another guy that I feel like could give you outside, inside. And, you know, circle this name, Mike. Circle this name, because he's a combination. He's a versatile player, and there's no team that likes versatile players more than San Francisco 49ers. Like, they like to get the bang for their buck. They literally do.
Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
So this young man is 6'4", 297.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Do you think that if he was shorter,
like 6'2",
6'1", 6'2", keep the weight the same, we would know exactly where he's going to line up. He's going to be like your three tech guy.
Their three tech guy, yeah, right in the inside.
But so do you think, because when I was watching the film, there were some times where he was just playing high, snapped the ball, and I felt like he just kind of got, he would put the arms out and get upright real quick. And I know that can mess up with the leverage and all
yeah,
that.
Yeah, but he's good at that though. Like, so he's not like a Javon Kinlaw on the inside. Like, he knows how to work his leverage. Like, you know what I'm saying? He's a really good player. Like, again, you're stopping the run with him. Like, that's what he's known for. If you put him out on the edge, he's containing the edge. So good luck. The run's not getting outside. And if it does, your guys will be able to get there to clean it up. He's literally out there to force that run back in the inside to get popped. He's a really good guy. So it's a good pick. That's a good pick. I don't know why he keeps getting overshadowed and overlooked. It's a great pick. We in round five yet?
Not yet. One more. So we had 3 4th round picks. This is the last one here. KT Leviston, offensive tackle from Kansas State. And to go back to our super chat from, I believe it was Big Daddy, he said that the Niners need help protecting Brock Purdy. I just want you to know that this will be 3 of 6 picks dedicated
on
to
the offensive line.
I just want you to know that we feel the same way.
We definitely feel the same way. The question is, will they be able to do it? That's a whole nother conversation.
Right.
But we definitely feel that way, bro.
Yeah,
Big absolutely. Daddy.
Leviston, good starter for the Wildcats. Played in 2 seasons, probably better as a run blocker, if we're being completely honest with you. But he definitely got better his final year as a pass blocker. He could be a guy that people try to move to guard. I'm hoping that the Niners take him at the tackle and let him develop as a tackle, be someone that can get there later on. I think you think he's too short to be a tackle, Wayne, at 6'3", 336?
I mean, it's those stinking measurables, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, I'm curious to know what his arm length is. If he's a shorter guy, he's sure that he doesn't have 34-inch arms, right? And so, like, that means he's going to be kicked into a guard 100%. Especially if he's 6'3".
His measurables here say, bum, bada, bum, 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 bum. It's loading still. I got the little spinny thing happening here. Sorry.
No, I'm just saying, like, I mean, if he's 6'3", I'm not expecting
34 3/8.
So, I mean, he has the arm length to play tackle.
Yeah.
He'll just be a short, stout tackle. Hey, the cool thing is Brock Purdy can kind of like see over him. What if they just go shorter on the offensive line, like you know, and have the mountains on the outside, like, you know,
big guys on the outside, give Brock that lane in the middle.
Yeah, give him that, give him a little extra.
We had so many bad at pass. Oh, never mind. I don't want to start. You think we had a lot of bad passes this year?
Yes. Okay. Yes.
Trigger, Wayne. My bad.
Bro, I mean, like, come on, man. Come on, sidearm that Mitch or something. Like, come on.
Figure it out. Yeah. All right. We on the 5th round now. Now it's on you. We back.
I was about to say something, boy.
I tried to stop him. I had to stop him before he got there.
So round 5 is we draft 2 positions here very well. We draft tight ends and we draft linebackers. Right? So I decided to go with the tight end. All right, because my number one tight end that I feel like the Niners should look to get is Benson out of Kansas State. He's going to be gone if we don't address him probably round 3, round 4. He's going to be out of there, right? But you could get a guy named Jarrett Wiley, 6'7", out of TCU. Texas Christian University. All right, this is what you're going to get from him. I'm going to tell you right now, he's not the best at inline blocking, so don't ask him to block. Hey, Mike, there's a tight end in the NFL that's always either number one or number two every single season that sucks at inline blocking. Do you know who it is?
Travis Kelce.
That's who this kid reminds me of. This kid can catch. This kid can score touchdowns. His run after the catch is decent. He's 6'7". It's kind of hard to overthrow a 6'7 dude. It's just hard. It's just hard.
Yeah.
Listen.
I like
listen.
It, man.
Jared Wiley, to me, would give the 49ers at the tight end position just a different, like, outlook on what to do. You got your blocking guy. You're bringing some other guys. You got these other kids you're still trying to develop. You probably, you know, you'll bring in another veteran. But if they draft him, they'll have – Brock would have a nice, sizable target, and he'll take over and, you know, at least touchdown production. He's not your yards guy. He's not going to get you a bunch of yards, but he can get you touchdowns. So red zone threat for me, for him. But, again – If you had to give him one knock, let me make this clear. He's good at initiating the contact because he's big, so he's powerful. He's gonna get the contact. He's just not gonna sustain. He's not gonna drive the guy. He's not a pancake guy. He's not George Kittle. I'm just gonna tell it like that. And his weight is probably what's the issue. But he's 6'6", 6'7". I like this kid, yo. I do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. He's a good guy. I like him too. I didn't realize that we were already, this 30 minutes go so fast. Like, I'm enjoying the show. All right. The next guy that we have here, the 36th pick of the sixth round is Jalen Carlees. Now, strong safety from Missouri. Wayne, I put some more tape on this kid. He is a monster around the line of scrimmage. This kid is really good. I wouldn't be surprised if the Niners move this dude to linebacker.
He kind of reminds you of Hufanga, right? Like around the line of scrimmage. But just more not too guessy. He's just very physical. Yes. That's the difference. It's, he's different. Yeah.
When he knows the play,
yeah,
you can tell. Like right away, you could tell. This kid is 6'3", 227. He's taller than Dre Greenlaw. I mean, you know, he's taller than Dre Greenlaw, but around the same weight. Runs a 4.5. But this kid has a ton of upside. If he can go into somewhere where there's a couple of good veteran pieces around him, he's going to make a phenomenal safety, or if they move him to linebacker. This kid, like I said, when he knows the play, he knows the play, and he plays it really, really well. So I really like this guy. I had a couple of interceptions in each of his years as playing ball, and he's just good. He runs really well, good movement. Might see him at linebacker, man. I like this kid.
I could dig it. I could dig it. I know some sites have him listed as a cornerback, so I'm curious to know how well he can cover. But again, if he could be brought in, utilized around that line of scrimmage. I think the Niners' first and foremost thing is to stop the run again. Like I figured out what's going on. The NFL is shifting. Okay, like it's just always shifting. If you look at a lot of these NFL offenses, Mike, what personnel are they lined up in?
21
you know? Or 12. No, 11. A lot of these teams are bringing out three wideouts. Yeah.
I'm thinking about the Lions. I'm sorry.
Well, they're bringing out three wide receivers because, right, they're trying to make sure that they can take those tackling machines off the field, right? And so, like, a lot of these teams, and so that's what makes the 49ers so unique, and a lot of teams are starting to try to become like the Niners when you get a running back where you could leave out there an 11 personnel and still have three wideouts and your one tight end and still find a way to be dynamic. That's what the Lions are starting to do. That's what a lot of these teams are starting to do. So you're starting to see 11 personnel on the field a lot, which means you're going to have an extra cornerback out there. But if you got a cornerback that can play nickel, that can play with those linebacking skills, that can still make sure that they're there in the flat, they're there to cover, they can do those type of things, you trump that 11 personnel. Like, you know what I'm saying? And so That's what's tough about the NFL. Back in the day, it used to be two running backs, you know what I'm saying? Two wide receivers and a tight end out there. They fullback, running back, and then boom, boom, boom. But nah, man, it keeps changing, man. College has definitely changed the NFL and how teams set up and prepare. All right, man, you got one more sixth-round pick.
Yeah, this is going to be our edge guy from Michigan.
Michigan, go Blue. Yeah.
And, you know, we actually broke him down on the show and justified him as a pick because we were talking about him and McGregor. I don't know if y'all remember that or not. But this is a good kid out here. 31 tackles, 6.5 sacks with 2 forced fumbles last year. 6'4", 250. And Wayne, you said it comes down to which type of player you prefer when you're going between Braden and
Braden McGregor. Yeah, Jay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They're just different edge rushers. They're different. Like they rush different. I like Jalen. He's a little tall. But I like him. I think on the edge, he's not speed. He's not power. He's more of a tactician. And you know what it is? He just knows how to get to the quarterback. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Even on a rotation.
And I think he sets the edge better than expected.
So, right. And so, like, I know a lot of people out there, when you talk about edge rushers, they're called edge for a reason, because the first thing they got to be able to do before they rush is set the edge, right? They got to make sure that edge is set. You know what I'm saying? And that's what he does. So look, it's hard for me. I know a lot of people, like, it's hard for me to not look at Michigan players, especially since they had, like, the best defense and the best offensive line and the best running. Like, they were just the best at everything in 2023. So, and then they won the championship, right? And so it's hard to not look at some of these players that aren't high up in the draft ranks. So you got to look at those guys that still put in the time and still have productivity. And Kyle Shanahan already proved to us that he watches these bowl games. He did it last year, and we drafted 3 players from that bowl game, from the Michigan game too, TCU-Michigan game, right? So we already know Kyle is always, whoever's scouting, they're always looking at these type of players. But don't think about the players. Don't think about the players that are getting all the hype, like the Blake Corums and those guys from this school. Start focusing on some of these other guys from the offensive line. Mike, I did a mic draft earlier today for the Wayne Breezy Show because I didn't go live, but I recorded it. I draft Drake Nugent, like, out of there, because I realized that the Michigan offensive line, they were all stout. They're not all great, but they were all stout. They worked together, right, and they knew how to run the ball. Mm-hmm. And what do the Niners want to do? Run the ball. Always, yeah, first and foremost.
Yeah. Yeah, they want that continuity for sure.
All right, 7th round, Jaxon Mitchell, linebacker out of UConn. We went with a linebacker here. It's a possibility he'll probably go undrafted or somewhat as a UDFA. But just to give you a little breakdown on what he did, 5 years in UConn. Probably just that COVID year, you know what I'm saying? So 5 years at UConn, linebacker. And when you look at his stats, I mean, they're not eye-popping stats, but as a linebacker, he blitz. He getting backfield. He had 7.5 sacks throughout his career, 3 interceptions, 7 pass deflections, 7 forced fumbles, 6 forced fumbles. Like, this dude can possibly find a way onto a practice squad or two of a team at some point, or at least special teams. And you know that's where the Niners linebackers start, right? They start on special teams. They do what they need to do. They get an opportunity. They come in. He stands at 6'2", I believe he's 6. What is his height and weight? 6'2", 229 pounds, Jaxon Mitchell. And I think the Niners definitely will look to take another linebacker. So I'm not expecting them to take one of them high price guys, because you still want to develop D Winters. You still want to see what Jalen Graham could do. But I think you add another linebacker in the core from the draft, and you kind of see what happens from there once you get to camp.
You know what I was thinking about as you were speaking? The linebackers having to play special teams, especially this year with the kickoff rules where you're lining up 5 yards from someone. You're going to need someone that knows how to shed the block
quick
and fill that gap and tackle for sure. Linebackers might be special team aces.
And it's funny how we already got, I felt like Jalen Graham was the ace on the linebacker. You know who I miss? Remember Marcelino McCrary Ball?
Yes.
I miss him. Now you're going to really miss him now. Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But Jalen Graham took that spot. So like I said, look, I think the Niners addressed the linebacker in the draft. Jaxon Mitchell could give them some good upside. has really good numbers throughout his collegiate career, decent numbers, if I'm not mistaken. Not high on like the solo tackles, but they're there. I mean, they're there. A lot of tackles for loss, 24 and a half tackles for loss throughout his career and at UConn, 432 total tackles. So I take that back. Like that's pretty solid out of four.
No, that's great.
That's 4 years too, because the 2020 year must have been COVID year. I can't remember when COVID was.
Mm-hmm, that was it.
Yeah, so there's no stats that year.
Mm-hmm. Those are great numbers. That's more than 100 tackles a year in a reduced college football season. That is mm-hmm. phenomenal. Mm-hmm. That is phenomenal. So I like that. Very good numbers. All right.
Nice that review. This review was the best review we did because we actually reviewed it.
And we had a flow. We had a flow. You know, you sent the structure. We followed. It was good until I, you know, tried to just keep going. I was just ready to go.
So next week I'll do the evens. You'll do the odds, or you want to stick to the odds evens?
No. You could do it next time. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yep. You could take the seven. So that's.
And cool. Next week, next Monday, we'll popcorn pick too. So you'll draft first. Mm. And then I'll do the even rounds. You'll do the.
I don't know
rounds.
If I want that pressure, but that's
no. Fine. You take.
Oh,
the
you
pressure.
Know what we should do.
What?
No, because then I got to explain my guys. So we should do it the opposite way, where
okay.
But we're gonna ping pong pick. So it's gonna break. It's gonna break up even anyway. So never mind. It'll break up even because once we get to the fourth round, there's three in a row there.
Right.
So it'll be me, you, me. So we'll be playing each other's stuff anyway.
Only in that round though.
No, and we got two and a six also. So
gotcha.
All right. Yep. So it'll work out. This was fun though, man.
This was fun. Happy Friday to everybody, man. Listen, enjoy y'all weekend. Have some fun. Turn up, turn down, do whatever you do. Get some rest. And I gotta get myself mentally prepared for these UConn games.
I'm a podcaster at heart. Let me know when the first women's UConn game. That's the one I want to know about.
That's 9:30 tonight.
That's tonight. Okay. All right. I got a goal. I got my TV. Maybe I can try to get this joint set up. I doubt it, but all right. And then here's the other thing I want to
That's
ask.
That's Paige Beckers versus Caitlin Clark, bro.
It's going to be a phenomenal game, yo.
Yeah.
It's going to be a phenomenal game. But in true podcaster form, I got to ask you about something that we're not going to get discussed until the next time we're on the air and it already have happened. Are you planning on doing anything with, during, or about this solar eclipse that's happening on Monday at 2 o'clock?
Oh, yeah. I've read something about the solar eclipse.
But no, you're not. Planning it, like I got my kids' glasses. I don't know, man. Like we might be starting at like 4:10 on Sunday because this is good. So
on Monday,
here's the thing. On Monday, I'm sorry. On Monday, yeah, that's when it is. I'm sorry. Here's the thing. The solar eclipse it happened a couple years ago, but the visibility of it is over 90% of the sun is going to be blocked this time.
Oh,
so it hasn't been that much of a percentage here where we are since 1806. Now. Here's the crazy thing that I just heard today, and they're saying that during the solar eclipse, a comet is going to pass over, leaving a trail of different.
Oh yeah, we're not going to be doing no show. Awesome. I got to watch that.
That's going to be wild. I got to look at it, and it's going to be from basically 2:08 to 4:30, is basically.
Okay.
But that's like literally when it first starts creeping in, all the way, and then when it's gone. You know what I'm saying? So,
all right.
But the peak time is going to be. The peak time is supposed to be around 3:30.
3:30. Like, all right.
Yeah.
I can't wait to see this.
I'm excited about it. I don't know why either. I don't know why I'm so excited. I wish I could get. Oh, I can't say what I want to say. All right. We should go. All right.
Well, get your solar eclipse glasses. All right. Get your BAM glasses. That's what we should create. We need a glass sun and we get some BAM shades. And then you'll have your specific. For your face, and I'll have my specific. Maybe we could hit up Zenni and they could create our own shades.
You think they would do? Oh, let's do it, man.
Let's do it.
Oh, I want some shades, man. Yeah, boy. All right, listen, we live all the time, just kicking it with the fam, bro. That's Breezy. I'm Mike, and this is the BAM Show. Peace.